today. And if you're taking notes, I encourage you to always take notes whenever you hear a message at New Hope. Today, the title is called The Battle Within. Let's pray. Father God, as we open your word today, I ask that you would come and speak to us. God, speak to me and through me today. And I pray for every person listening to my voice, Lord God, whether it's online or in the building here. God, may we be like a sponge today to receive the word of the Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill us. Speak to us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You know, I really believe it's important whenever you hear a message, you get ready to receive. One of my stories that really impacted me years ago, we had a Zimbabwean lady named Barbara, who was an amazing woman of God. And then she came to our house once, Carol and I prayed for her, and she had some demons cast out, and she had a real transformation. And then after about 6 months, she just had some offense in her heart and some bitterness and some unforgiveness and, you know, stuff had happened, you know. And then she'd come and she'd sit at the back of the church like this, you know, and she just wouldn't receive. And whenever there was a sermon, she just couldn't receive from it. And she was just in a hard place. You know, I don't know if anyone, can anybody relate to just being in a hard place where you can't receive? Anyway, and then she felt convicted by the Holy Spirit that she needed to soften her heart. And so one day the Holy Spirit just said it up the back of the church, said, just start speaking in tongues and ask the Lord to heal you of that. And she said right at the start of the sermon, she just started praying in the Spirit and felt the Holy Spirit just fill her and lifted something off her. And then straight away, she then started receiving from the sermon. She said for weeks and weeks, she couldn't receive anything from the preaching, whether it was me or someone else. She just couldn't receive it. But something shifted in her heart and she could receive the word. And if you know what I'm talking about. So I want to challenge you, whenever you hear a word, don't let the devil block your ears from hearing the word of God. Amen. Be ready to receive from God's word today. So I encourage you to be switched on, take notes, write down all the amazing quotes and dad jokes and Bible verses. And one of the best things to do is to review after a sermon. So take it home, go through it, research it, review it. Don't take everything I say as gospel. I reckon I've worked it out pretty good, but I'm not 100% perfect. You know, no one is. So I encourage you to study, you know, to rightly divide the word of God. Amen. So today we're talking about the battle within. Ephesians 4:22-24. It says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed by in the spirit of your minds. And put on your new self. Everyone say new self. Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Today I'll be sharing about God's power available to us to be transformed from our old way of life. Pastor Jack Hayford says, you can't disciple a demon and you can't cast out the flesh. I love that quote. You know, we just heard about, you know, Mel just shared about how she's had demons cast out of her. And I believe in that. And we've actually seen a number of people in our church in the last few months have demons cast out. We've actually got a special seminar coming up in August with a lady named Oriole, who's going to be running a special one-day session on deliverance. Because we believe that it's great to see people saved and healed, but we want to see people delivered as well, amen? So I'm all for deliverance. But also we need to learn how to disciple our flesh, because you can't disciple a demon and you can't cast out the flesh. We need to learn to disciple our flesh. And I want to just teach a bit today into this about how to disciple the flesh, to get rid of the old and come into the new. You know, there was an old man that was teaching his grandson about life. The young boy said, there's a fight that's going on inside of me. It's a terrible fight and it's between two wolves. One is an evil wolf, full of anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. He continued, the other wolf is good. Joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and in every other person too. The grandson thought about it for a minute and asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? And the old man simply replied, the one that you feed. Whichever one you feed will win. I know what it's like if I go a day or two without food. I'm like, oh, I'm so hungry. Oh, you know, you're weak, you're not thinking straight, you know, you're struggling, you know. But when you had a good meal, you're like, yes, full of energy. Same thing with the battle that's going on inside of us. You can either feed your old self, bitterness, anger, rivalry, jealousy, greed, all that evil stuff, the flesh. If you feed that, it'll win. But if you want to live as a new man, a new woman in Christ Jesus, if you want to take off the old self and put on the new self, you've got to feed your spirit man, amen? You've got to feed yourself on God's word. You know, I believe, and I think Charlie's word was a real confirmation earlier on. I really believe in this season we're in that we're going to see a revival of holiness and righteousness in God's people. For years, I've seen Christians full of, you know, carnality, fleshly, worldly Christians who just are the same as the world. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is convicting us to turn from our old self, our old way, and to become new creations in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you can write that down. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We're going to get a revelation of what it means to live as the new man, the new woman in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor, slave or free, Jew or Gentile, Greek, whatever. We're all one in Christ Jesus, amen? And we've got to get a revelation of having the mind of Christ, living, you know, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. One of the biggest accusations against Christians is that we're all hypocrites. It's actually interesting. This week we were doing some Facebook advertising to promote our services, you know, because Facebook's, you know, hardly anything gets seen on Facebook these days unless you put a bit of money to it. So we did a bit of Facebook advertising, which was interesting. And we targeted people between 18 and 80 around the Kelvin Grove area in case people might come to church, you know. And whenever you do that, you get all these haters coming on your Facebook feed. I don't know if anybody saw them. I hid their comments quickly, but you get these haters. And one guy got on there and goes, oh, the church is full of pedophiles. The church is full of hypocrites. Oh, the church is, you know, they're just after your money, you know. All that, you know, I've heard that stuff all my life, you know. And you know what? I admit that many churches are known for that stuff. Because of the past, because of the televangelists that have fallen in the past, because of the Royal Commission and what's happened in many denominations in the past, because of, you know, pastors and leaders mishandling money and spiritually abusing people and doing the wrong thing. I admit that the church has not looked good in the past, but it's a new season, everyone. It's time for the church to come back to the Word of God and be full of holiness, righteousness, godliness, honoring and reflecting the truth of what it means to follow Jesus. Amen. I believe we need to get back to the truth of the Word of God, and there's a revival of righteousness and holiness. But there's always a battle within. This week I had a battle at the dentist. I hadn't been for about a year or a bit and had a bit of a toothache, and I thought, oh, I better go, you know. So it's like, and the flesh is saying, don't go, it's going to hurt. But inside I knew it was the best thing to do. I've got to look after these pearly whites, you know. So I'm in there, and the lady, she knows I'm a pastor, and I think she knows me because whenever I go in there, I just start praying. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff that comfort me. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Thank you that the truth will set me free. The truth will set me free. Like I'm just quoting the word over and, you know. And you know what? I actually believe that there is power in the word of God. Amen. When we have that fear come in and that, you know, because let's face it, in the flesh, what you want to do is you want to say, how about you sit down here and give me the drill, sister? You know, like that's what you want to do, isn't it? In the flesh, that's what you want to do. You are hurting me. You know, that's what you want to do in the flesh. But in the spirit, you've got to humble yourself and receive the correction that's being given to you. Have a teachable spirit. Let them do that work on you. And then you come out and it's never as bad as what you think, is it? Well, maybe. I don't know about you. Sometimes it can be worse. I know. But I actually thought that's a little bit what it's like every day in the spirit, isn't it? we want in the flesh to have revenge against people, or we want to have our way and have our say and get our rights and this and that. But the Holy Spirit says, come on, just calm your farm. Just take a chill pill. Just relax. Just rest. Just receive whatever discipline you need. You know, just receive whatever correction you need. Just receive it, you know. And there's this battle between the flesh and the spirit. And what I want to teach you today is how we can get a revelation of the power of God to overcome the desires of the flesh, to put off the old self and put on the new self, to be a man or a woman of God. Now let's have a look at this verse in Ephesians 4. Let's start at verse 17. I love the Apostle Paul's advice. I love reading it. And, you know, the Bible wasn't written to us, but it was written for us. It was written to the church in Ephesus because they were obviously struggling with this stuff. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I want to be like the church in the book of Acts or Thessalonica or Corinth or Ephesus. Oh, they were the perfect church, let me tell you. The reason Paul wrote these letters was to correct them. Anybody here want to get corrected today? I don't have a dentist drill. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be loving, okay? But I want to just bring some correction. Is that okay? Okay. Now, I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They've become callous and given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learned Christ. Assuming that you've heard him, heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Let me just pause there. I really believe we need to get a revelation of what it is to be renewed every day. And I believe the key word is the D word, day, daily. I really believe every day. When you wake up in the morning, there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit straight away. Should I get into the Word? Shall I pray? Shall I seek God? Or shall I go and switch on the news and see what's happening in the world and let them brainwash me with all their crazy rubbish they're trying to, you know, pump into people's brains? Should I go off and have a nice breakfast and forget about God? Should I, you know, or should I put God first? The earlier in the day we start renewing our minds and filling ourselves with God, with God's word, the earlier in the day, the better our day will be. I've found this to be true in my life. I've committed myself to reading God's word, 4 or 5 chapters every single day. For 15 years, it's changed my life. But on the days where I might be unwell or I might have an early breakfast meeting or something's on and I don't get to the word, I just find I'm just dry, I'm just empty. And I revert back to my old self. It's like if there was a target on that wall and I had an arrow and I was shooting an arrow at the target. If I'm just a little bit off right here with my fingers, I'll miss the target. That's why you've got to be at the start of the day. You've got to have your aim right and then you'll get to where God's called you to go every day. Start the day in God's word. Make sure that you're doing your daily devotions. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Word of God says. And you know, every day is a second chance. Doesn't matter how bad yesterday was. Doesn't matter the sins or the mistakes you made yesterday. Every day is a new day. Pastor Wayne Cadero at New Hope, Hawaii, talks about how when he plays golf, sometimes he'll miss the ball and he'll say to his mates, "Can I have a mulligan?" And in the US, a mulligan is a second chance. And so if he's got nice friends with him, they go, "Yeah, you can have another go." And he sets the ball up and then he has another shot and we'll probably get it right the second time. You know what? No matter how many times we've messed up in the day before, every day is a mulligan. Every day is a day to start afresh, isn't it? So I want to challenge you, no matter what has happened, don't let the devil say to you, "Don't pick up the word. You're too much of a sinner." Oh, you'll never understand it. Oh, it won't do you any good. Don't let the devil deceive you from being in God's word. Amen. Make sure every day you're renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self by starting in God's word every day. Every day is a second chance. Joshua 1:8. You can write this down. If you're watching on Facebook, you can make that in the comments as well. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on this book of the law day and night. Don't let its words depart from your mouth. Be careful to do everything that's written in it, and then I'll make you prosperous and successful. Who wants that? Who wants to be prosperous and successful? Be in the word. Meditate. Don't just read it like it's a history book. Don't just read it so that you can learn something for knowledge. Read it so you can get revelation. Read it so God can speak to you about who you are. When you read the word, it's like a mirror and you go, oh, I need to change this. I need to fix that. Let the Lord do heart surgery on you every time you read God's word. Every day, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's go to verse 25. It says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with everyone in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You know, I'm just going to unpack a few of those verses there. We've been talking a bit about being in God's word and filling us up in God's word every day. And I just wanted to also challenge you about being spiritually fit. You know, at this time last year, I had an autoimmune disease. I was unwell. I was a bit overweight. I was really struggling. And it was a real wake-up call for me in my health. And so I started fasting regularly. I started eating healthy, giving up the junk food, started exercising, going to a personal trainer. In this last couple of months, I've actually been running. No one's been chasing me either. It's amazing. I was talking to Sean Murray, he's actually run a couple of marathons, he's very fit, and he said the key to running is just to start out slow. Because my problem was, I'm like a bullet, I'm going to run, and then like 2 minutes later, I'm like, oh, I can't run anymore, it's ridiculous. You know? And he said, no, Matt, just start out slow. And so for this last month, I started going 1K, and then I'd rest, you know, and now I can do 2, 3, now I can do like 4Ks without missing a beat, you know, every day. And I've got this little app on my phone and I'm challenging myself every day to go further and further and harder and harder. And you know what, in the physical, I'm feeling great, you know, I'm losing all that ISO weight that I put on, most of it, a little bit of it, anyway. I'm feeling fitter, I'm thinking clearer, I feel fantastic, you know. But you know what? I believe in the spirit, we need to also set goals for ourselves like that. Stretch yourself every day. I was just challenging you to be in God's word every day. Maybe you can't read 5 chapters a day. Maybe you can just do a couple of verses. Just start somewhere. Start and renewing yourself in the mind every day. Maybe you'll get to doing a chapter. Maybe you'll get to do 2 chapters. I remember James telling me he loves reading the Bible, but then he started listening to the audio Bible. And you listened through like half the Bible in like a month, didn't you? Just over and just while he was doing Uber, driving around, listening to the Bible, picking up people saying, shh, I'm listening to the Bible, you know. No, you wouldn't. Anyway. But you know what? He just started listening to the audio Bible over. And I remember you just came alive. You said, it's like the word of God is getting pumped into me all the time. And he stretched himself to get more and more of the word into him. I'm here to tell you, the more of the word you get into, the more you'll be able to put off your old self. The more you'll win the battle within. The more you sharpen the sword of the Spirit and get into the Word of God, the more you run the race and get fit spiritually, you'll be able to overcome the old self and put on the new self. 1 Corinthians 9:27 is a verse the Lord spoke to me about. It says, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." Now, I know that some church traditions have used that in the past, and they whip themselves and they do all these things in religious traditions to try and diet to the flesh. Like, I remember in Bible college learning that that's called asceticism. You know, and guys, they'd climb up a pole and they'd sit on a pole to try and get holy and right with God and separate themselves from the world, you know. Now, people do all these things to try and get right with God. I'm here to tell you, the best thing to do is to be in God's Word, to renew your mind daily in God's Word, every day. And it's interesting, when I run, the other trick that I've used is that I put on Vision 180, you know, the youth station of Vision Radio, and it's got all this doof-doof music for the young people, you know, like me. And what's so funny? Who's laughing? Anyway, yeah, you too, James. That's right. Yeah, amen. But I find when I put my phone on and I put the doof-doof music on, I forget about how sore my body is and I run faster and further. And I actually believe that's a key. When you're into God's Word every day, you forget about the flesh. You forget about, you know, the temptations and the struggles. You just focus on where you're getting to, amen? Who's got a goal here to worship Jesus every day, to win souls every day, to pray for the sick every day? When you put the music of the Word of God on and you focus on God, you can run and you'll forget about all the temptations, all the flesh, all that stuff, because you've got a goal to get to, amen? How many of you know when you know where you're going to, you won't get sidetracked, because you keep the Word of God at the center. I encourage you to do that. Let's keep moving through this passage here. Verse 26, it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger and give no opportunity to the devil." This is something that I've really had to be careful of as a father, as a husband, as a guy who has a workplace, you know. I've had to learn to control my anger and control my temper. The Bible warns us, it says, "In your anger, do not sin and give no opportunity for the devil." Another version says, "Don't give a foothold for the devil." What's a foothold? It's like if I wanted to get to the top of these stairs, I have to get a foothold to be able to get to the top. There's another foothold, and eventually I've got to the top. If you start getting angry and you're like, "Oh, I'm angry at Alejandro. I'm going to start telling him, 'You, I don't like that shirt. Oh, man, that is the worst.' You know, if I start getting angry at him, then that's a foothold for the devil between us, isn't it? And then I'm like, "Oh, yeah, and those boots, man, they're not as good as my boots. Oh, you know, you know." And then all of a sudden I'm angry again. "Oh, yeah. And the thing you said the other day, oh, you know." And then, you know, all of a sudden you've given a foothold for the devil and he's coming and taking over everything, isn't he? When you're first tempted to accuse someone or insult someone or raise your voice at your kids or raise your voice at that person that just cut you off on the highway, when you first, you just take a chill pill, calm your farm, button your lip and say, "I bless you in Jesus' name." Instead of me looking at his shirt and thinking, "I'm going to say something about that shirt," I say, "Oh, bless you. I bless you. That's a beautiful shirt, you know." Don't give a foothold for the enemy, because he will bring division, amen? And the devil's plan is to divide and conquer. Don't give a foothold to the enemy so that you become angry, amen? Stay on the level that God's called you to, because as soon as you give him one foothold, maybe in your marriage, you know? I know my wife and I, we've done this marriage course a number of times over the years, and there's a lot of good principles in the marriage course that have really helped us. For example, they teach you how to fight fair. They teach you how to have a healthy conflict in marriage. And they say things like, in a marriage, don't always drag up the past. Don't say things like, "You always," or, "I remember the time you did this." Don't drag up that. Never call names in a fight in your marriage. Never. Keep short accounts. And then this verse is so important. Never let the sun go down on your anger. Some days Carol and I have had a argument about something and it's like cold as ice, you know. She's giving me the silent treatment. Oh, I hate that one. and I want to do is I want to talk about it. I want to deal with it. And she's like, "No, I'm not saying a word." And so what I do, I just calm down. I just pray. I bless her. And then nighttime comes, the kids are in bed. I'm like, "Honey, can we have a talk about that discussion we had?" Nothing. Crickets. But then the Holy Spirit works on her heart. And maybe the Holy Spirit might remind her, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And then she goes, oh, okay, and let's talk about it. All right, you were right and I was wrong. No, she would never say that. No. All right, maybe we need to have a compromise on whatever the issue is, you know. And can I just say, we haven't fought for a long time, you know, so I'm digging back to times we have fought in the past. But, you know, never let the sun go down in your anger. Keep short accounts. If you want to put on the new self, that's how you operate in the kingdom. That's the kingdom culture. You're a forgiver. You're a peacemaker who sows peace and reaps a harvest of righteousness. Don't let the devil bring in a wedge between anyone, amen? Otherwise, a root of bitterness will grow up to defile many. Where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing, amen? Make sure you're always peaceable, always forgiving. Make sure you don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give a foothold to the enemy. Even when you cut off, when you're driving. So I bless them in the name of Jesus. I remember in the past, I used to, if someone cut me off, I'd tailgate them and try and catch them. I want to, you know, honk the horn at, you know. What's the point of doing? I'm like, seriously, what's the point of road rage? What good's it going to do, you know? Bless them. Just let them go off and be a hoon if they want to. That's up to them, you know. Bless them. Don't give a foothold for the devil. Amen? Somebody say amen. 28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor and do honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. I love this verse. James last week shared on communion and shared a verse that I preached on here before. In Deuteronomy, it says that God has given us the power to get wealth. Amen? I believe the Lord spoke to me many years ago about not just relying on my wage as a pastor, but on having other streams of income. So that's why I work for Vision Radio on air. I also sell advertising for them. And when I preach at places, I get honorarium sometimes, you know. I get gifts from other things that I do, emceeing things or whatever. And I've got several streams of income to afford to send my kids to a private Christian school, you know. I can't rely on just the one job because God has given me the power to get wealth. So that was the revelation I got. And I remember sharing this with a Bible study out the back here. Let them labor, it says, doing honest work with your own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. How many of you know that we are blessed to be a blessing? We're not a dam where we're blessed to keep it for ourselves. We are a river where it flows in and flows out. We are blessed to be a blessing. You know, the old self is selfish. The new self is selfless. That's a good word right there. Somebody said yes. Amen. The old self is selfish. The new self is selfless. Some think that caring for the poor is an optional extra of being a Christian, but is central to the Christian faith. All through the ages, Christians have cared for the poor. I watched a movie this week called Same Kind of Different as Me. Has anybody seen that movie? It's just out on digital. It's a great movie. It's got Renee Zellweger, Robert Kinnear, some other famous actors and actresses in it. And Renee Zellweger is this rich, middle-class American woman who's in this big house. Her husband's a high-flying art dealer. And she feels convicted about the homeless in a city and goes and starts volunteering at a soup kitchen. And he's like, oh, honey, you shouldn't do that. Oh, no, you know, it's not us. And they go into this neighborhood where the soup kitchen is one day in their car, and there's this nice car, and everyone's eyeing off the car. And he's like, honey, we're going to get beaten up. You know, and he's freaking out. He's like, honey, this is not right. But she's got a revelation that that's what God's called her to do. And they go in and volunteer at this soup kitchen, and there's this African-American guy who comes in with a baseball bat and starts smashing windows and yelling. And the husband's like, see, this is why we shouldn't be here. It's dangerous. We shouldn't be, you know. And she's like, honey, that's the man that God showed me in a dream. He's our mission. He's the one that God's called us to care for. And he's like, I ain't going near that bloke. What are you talking about? And she's like, honey, God's told us. And he's like, he's in the old self. He's like, no, not me. That she's like, come on, honey, this is what God's called us to do. So they befriend him. And he's not a happy camper. He's like, "What, you want to be friends with me? What are you talking about?" You know, like he's really mad at them. And he says, because you know how many hurt people, don't they? He had walls up. He didn't want to be close to anyone. He was suspect of their motives, you know. And eventually, and I don't want to spoil too much of the movie, eventually he turns out to be just a big teddy bear. He had a harsh exterior, but he had a beautiful heart inside. Because what does it say in Samuel in the Bible? Man looks to the outward things, but God looks to the heart. It all comes back to the heart. He had a beautiful heart. He just needed to be loved. He just needed someone to believe in him, to take him under his wing and say, God's got a plan for you and a purpose for you. And that man and the husband have now traveled all around America, raising millions of dollars for homeless shelters. And he's famous for this quote, this African-American man. He came to Christ, got over his anger issues, became a beautiful man of God. And he's famous for this quote, "Everyone is homeless, just trying to find their way home." How good is that? Everyone is homeless, just trying to find their way home. Whether we're rich or poor, whether we're successful or a failure, whatever in the world's eyes, we're all homeless, just trying to find our way home. And there's a beautiful picture in the movie where he's at home with them and they're making him breakfast, like he stayed at their house or something, and they're making him breakfast, and he just looks at her and he says, "You are precious to God. The work you do at our soup kitchen, caring for people like me," says, "you are precious to God." And I thought, that's what we should live for, an audience of one, amen? Not to show off to other people and show people what we do. We should just do what God's told us to do, amen? To live a life precious to God. Such a beautiful movie. It's called Same Kind of Different as Me. I recommend you watch that movie. Let's look at this verse in Luke 14:12. It says, "He said also to the man who had invited him in, 'When you have dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just.'" You'll be rewarded. Isn't that awesome? That's one of the key verses, Pastor Oscar, isn't it, for the King's Table Soup Kitchen. The King's Table is that parable of the banquet where they went out to the highways and the byways and they brought them in. And I just want to dwell on this point for a moment. James 2 verse 1 to 20. I was just reading this yesterday. In our daily readings in New Hope, we have daily devotions. Every day we read through the Bible. And this passage really spoke to me. And it's on this topic. "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but you say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'You sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of to him you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, 'Love your neighbor as yourself,' you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all." Let me just jump down to the verse a bit later there. It says, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If you say to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but you do nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds. I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" The reality is, church, whenever we see someone in need, we've got to put on the new self and love them with the love of God. Share with people that are in need. however we can. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't be like the Levite and the priest that walked past the guy that was beaten up. Be like the Good Samaritan who stopped for the one and loved them. It's part of the heart of the mission of this church to care for the last, the least, and the lost. And, you know, I was reading that verse in James yesterday and it reminded me of the song Asleep in the Light by Keith Green. Anybody heard of that song? My first ever sermon at the age of, when I was 16, my first ever sermon, I wasn't 11 like you, Pastor Alejandro, I was 16, I was old, you know. But my first ever sermon when I was 16, I preached on this song, Asleep in the Light. It says, do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? And you close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord, you know it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Can't you see it's such a sin? Because he brings people to your door, and you turn them away as you smile and say, God bless you, be at peace. And all heaven just weeps. Because Jesus came to your door, and you left him out on the streets. Open up and give yourself away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God is calling and you're the one, but like Jonah, you run. He told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Can't you see? It's such a sin. The world is sleeping in the dark that the church just can't fight because it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave and you can't even get out of bed. How can you be so numb not to care if they come? And then I love the last bit of the song. Over and over, Keith Green just sings, come away, come away, come away with me, my love. Come away from this mess. Come away. I believe Keith Green was like a prophet to the church. He only lived to the age of 28. And he was saying to the church, wake up. We are called to go and care for the lost. Care for the broken. Every opportunity with what God has given us, we are blessed to be a blessing. And I do want to give a bit of advice about this song as well. My wife's away at a women's retreat, and last Sunday, she didn't want to get out of bed for church because it was cold. And I started singing this to her. It was not a good idea. Just giving you a heads up, guys. I would be in so much trouble if she was here right now. She might watch this on Facebook. Honey, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Remember, don't let the sun go down on your anger, honey. No, seriously, I was singing that. You can't even get out of bed. No. She didn't like it at all. So there's some advice for you. Just be wise with where you share this. No, right, Pastor Ross. Anyway, let's keep moving through this chapter before we get sidetracked here. Verse 29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up, as fits for the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. You know, I believe we need to be very careful with our words. We need to speak life. How many of you know Proverbs tells us the power of life and death is in the tongue? We've got to make sure we don't let any corrupt talk come out of our mouths. Don't waste your words. As I was preparing for this week, I remember asking the question, what would the Apostle Paul preach if he was preaching at New Hope this Sunday? Whew. I felt the Holy Spirit just stir my heart to make sure that I'm very word-based. You know, here at New Hope, we are a word-based church, amen? We will always preach based on God's Word, and we'll always have the Scriptures on the screen. We'll always be pointing you back to the Word of God. Because you know what? I've fallen into the trap myself. Sometimes I'll have my latest and greatest theory and I'll have these ideas and philosophies and cool ideas and I'll preach it and I'll forget to actually bring God's Word into the sermon. And I've been to churches and I've seen it. People just preach all sorts of things and they never share God's Word. We've got to make sure that we choose our words wisely. And in answer to the question, what would the Apostle Paul preach if he preached at New Hope this week, I honestly reckon he would like actually felt to give that prophetic word at the end of worship. I actually felt that was a word from the Lord. I felt the Lord wanted to say, he has pleasure in what this church is doing. He loves your care for the poor. He loves your heart of worship. He loves your family loving atmosphere. He loves your generosity and your faithfulness to the call. He loves your passion for his word. And even though you've been through trials and tribulations, the Lord says he's with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He's in the fire with us. Amen. And I reckon the kind of words that we're hearing today from Ephesians, that's the kind of thing the Apostle Paul, I don't know. I can't wait to meet him one day. How good is it going to be to meet Paul? I can't wait to go to heaven, to the great wedding feast one day and meet Elijah and Moses and Abraham and David. He'll be worshipping, dancing around. He'll be going wild, I can imagine. I can imagine how awkward it would be if I sat next to Lot and said, oh, can you pass the salt? Oh, sorry. Could be an awkward. But I can't wait to meet the great saints and the prophets in heaven one day. Anybody excited about that? We've got a home prepared for us. Jesus said, it's good that I'm going to be away because I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you. Just think about it. God made the earth in 6 days. And look how much of a mess this place is now. Look at the mess that we've done to this world, you know. Jesus has been in heaven for 2,000 years preparing a place for us. How good is it going to be? We've got to have that vision of heaven, that glimpse of heaven, that's where we're going to be one day forever with the great saints. Oh, I'm getting distracted here, but I'm getting excited. I'm preaching myself happy this morning. Hallelujah. Don't let any corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I love it in the book of James, it says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. I love it in Proverbs how it says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who guards his tongue is wise. I remember when I was on ABC TV on Q&A, and I'd ask a question of the then Prime Minister Kevin Rudd about homosexual marriage, and he lectured me and he quoted the Bible out of context, and he was just mad at me, and I had all these ABC lefty crowd kind of focused on me. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get tarred and feathered tonight, you know. Carol was with me freaking out, and I remember him asking me a question, and I remember thinking, I would love to just give it to you. But I actually had that proverb come through my mind. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who guards his tongue is wise. I thought, he's already shown how confused he is about the Bible. He's already shown how mean and nasty he is by lecturing this poor little pastor from Brisbane who just asked a question. I'm not going to say a thing. And they pushed me to argue with him. And I could have said all sorts of things. But I actually felt, I was actually very nervous, believe it or not. But I actually felt the Holy Spirit say, just don't say anything. I'd already said what I wanted to say. Sometimes we talk way too much and we dig ourselves into a deep hole and we go off on rabbit trails. Everybody says, yeah, preacher, come on. I'm preaching to myself too, everyone. Don't worry, I know. I know I go off on rabbit trails. But let's get back to what God's told us to say, amen. Let's guard our tongue. Let's be wise with the words we choose. I've learned that in radio over the years. My boss has taught me at the radio station. They do an air check where they listen to your shift and they critique you on the things you said. And they have this rule in radio where always take the first exit. So talk about the song, talk about your Bible verse, talk about your interview, and then don't rabbit on and get on a rabbit trail. Just play the next song. Take the first exit. Keep it short and sharp. I reckon we can apply that to our lives. Sometimes I ring people. And I can't get a word. I've rung people to talk to them about something. And I can't get a word in. Like, oh, I actually need to tell you something. Stop. Hold it. When words are many, sin is not absent. He who guards his tongue is wise. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God and Christ forgave you. If you want to put off the old self and put on the new self, don't grieve the Spirit of God. Let bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. It all comes back to the heart. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You know, C.S. Lewis said this, I can forgive the inexcusable in others because Christ forgave the inexcusable in me. Amen? Anybody here a sinner? We're all sinners. By the grace of God, our sins have been forgiven. What right do we have to have unforgiveness towards others? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Spurgeon said this, I think I now see the Spirit of God grieving. We might have that on the screen, I think. I think I now see the Spirit of God grieving when you're sitting down to read a novel and there is your Bible that is unread. You have no time for prayer, but the Spirit sees you active about worldly things and many hours to spare for relaxation and amusement. And then he is grieved because he sees that you love worldly things better than you love him. Do we have that quote there, Virginia, from Spurgeon? No, we don't. I didn't have that on the notes. I love the fact that Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, is challenging us, saying, don't love the things of the world. That's what the old self does. And I remember Reinhard Bonnke was interviewed once, a great evangelist, and he said, we've got to hate the things God hates and love the things God loves. When it comes to the battle within, I think that's one of the simplest explanations. Hate the things God hates. What does God hate? He hates injustice. He hates divisiveness. He hates lies. He hates hypocrisy. He hates fake believers, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He called them whitewashed tombs, a brood of vipers. He hates that religious fake following of God. We're going to learn to hate the stuff God hates and love the things God loves. God loves the poor. God loves the broken. God loves harmony and unity in relationships. God loves generosity. God loves peaceable, caring people. Let's love the things God loves and hate the things God hates. John Wesley said this, give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and such alone will shake the gates of hell. Somebody say amen to that. That's what I'm looking for in New Hope. I'm looking for people who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God. Just think about it. There's about 190 people that are part of our church family if everyone turned up at once. Probably a bit more if you added on everyone from the King's Table and their outreaches, you know. A couple of hundred people. Just think about it. Jesus changed the world with 12 disciples. Imagine if every one of us got this revelation. I'm going to die to my old self. Remember Jesus said, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If everyone at New Hope got a revelation that I'm just going to give up all that old stuff, all my old stuff. I'm going to crucify the flesh. I'm going to die to all that, and I'm going to be all in for God, 100% full on for whatever God wants me to do every day. I'm going to commit myself to God, and I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God, and I'm going to live in the new self every day. Imagine the difference we can make in this city, in this nation, and among the nations of the world. I believe that God is raising up and purifying his bride in these last days. He's making his church ready for the greatest harvest the world's ever seen. Are you in? Are you hungry for a new move of God? I asked Josh to play that song today. Actually, if we're going to have Josh on the keys again, I asked him to play that song, We Need a Move. Miracles happen when God turns up. Amen? We need a fresh move of God. And I love what William Booth said. He said, I'm not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God. He just decided, I'm going to go and preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the leper. I'm just going to be a move of God. Wherever I go, I'm going to be a move of God. Wherever I go, I'm going to change the atmosphere. You should see it when we go out around the shelters. We just go out there two by two like Jesus sent them out. And we're just like, God has called us to do this. People come out for the food. but then we give them spiritual food. We see people saved, healed, and delivered. This is the kind of ministry that God has called us to. Every one of us to go out into the highways and the byways and to be a move of God wherever we go. Why don't we stand to our feet and let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word which speaks to us today. Thank you, Lord, for the Apostle Paul and his letter to the church in Ephesus. God, I pray that you'll give us a revelation of what it is to be all in for you, to die to the old and to live in the new. God, I pray that you'll help us be wise with our words, to only use our words for building up. I pray, Lord, that we will die to the flesh. Your word says it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Give us a revelation of what it is to have self-control and to not to give a foothold for the enemy. Give us a revelation of what it is to work hard so that we may have something to share with anyone in need, Lord God, that we are blessed to be a blessing. Give us a revelation of what it is to be precious to you, Lord God, to honor you with every part of our life. God, give us a revelation that we need to feed the new man and starve the old man. That we can be men and women of the Spirit and that we can crucify our flesh. God, let there be a revival of holiness, a revival of righteousness, a revival of bearing the fruit of the Spirit in the church, Lord God, so that we can be a witness for you. And Lord, we can't do it in our own strength. Your word says it's not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Holy Spirit, we need a fresh move today. And just with every eye closed and every head bowed as we're praying, I've got two questions to ask as we close the service today. Firstly, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, and to put off the old self and to receive the new nature of being a follower of Christ? I read a story this week about a lady that had smashed a jar in the supermarket and went everywhere. And people were standing around and she was all worried about picking it up. And one of the staff came up and said, "Don't worry about that. I'll clean this up." And she goes, "Oh, no, I have to." And he goes, "No, I'll do it." And she goes, "I'll have to pay for this." And she goes, "No, you don't have to pay for it." And he picked up the broken pieces and he cleaned it up and she didn't have to lift a finger. And the guy that shared it said, that's what it's like with our lives. We may be smashed and broken. We may be a mess. Jesus can come in and he can pick us up. He can clean us up and he'll pay for it with his blood on the cross. Maybe you think you can't be fixed. Maybe you think you can't be forgiven. Maybe you think you've committed too much sin. That is a lie from the devil. Jesus can pick up your broken pieces and put you back together today. He paid with his blood on the cross for you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want to give your life to him today and be born again, with every eye closed, every head bowed, I just want you to slip up your hand right now and I can pray with you today. Is there anyone that says, yes, today I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to have my sins forgiven. We're going to pray a prayer in just a moment where you can receive him as Lord and Savior. If you want to pray that prayer and mean it from your heart, I just want you to raise your hand and I can pray with you today. Is there anyone that says, yes, that's me. Yes, I need Jesus. If you're watching online and you want to pray this prayer with us, let's pray together. Let's all pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen.